Hey guys.
Hey guys.
Welcome back to Faith on Fleek. It's Cadence Melville.
And Cooper McFessel.
And we're your hosts. So today we don't have a special guest, but that's okay because this episode's still going to be good. But today our topic is about the verse Psalm 23. So that's basically what we're going to start off with. So first of all, I'm just going to read this verse. So it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So that's basically that verse, and that's just what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you this before we get into the discussion. What is this, like, part of, like, a reading that you were doing just, like, in your personal Bible time? Like, where did you get the idea to want to talk about this?
So I finished reading Matthew and then I started reading in Psalms because my uncle told me that Psalms is like a really good book that I should read and like memorize and stuff. So I decided to read it, and then I went to Psalm 23, the next part that I was going to read, and then it was just now my favorite verse.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I had to memorize this when I was a kid for like a thing we did at church. It was like, I can't remember what it was, but when I was young, it was like the whole church did like we were studying Psalm 23, and we all had to like the kids. I'm pretty sure it was like we got like a prize or something if we could memorize the whole thing. And so I did that. And so I've always like
known
since then, like can quote it off the top of my head. So I really love it too. It's a very famous, like very well-known passage of scripture.
Yeah.
You've probably a lot of people, even if they're not like in church, have at least heard like
part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially like the, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Like that's a really, really popular verse of this chapter, I think. But it's really good and there's a lot to it.
Yeah,
so
there is a lot to it.
Yeah, it's a whole, what's the word? A bunch of different like things it's talking about in one thing, but it's all kind of the same overarching point.
Yeah.
But it goes a lot of different places. So we're going to break that down today.
Yeah, so basically we just like analyzed all the different verses. It has six verses in it. And then we're going to discuss like what each one means and go into like depth with it and stuff. But I did want to say before we like completely get in that I have a reference verse and it's Matthew 6 verses 25 through 34.
Mm-hmm. Okay. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble."
Yes, I love that verse. It's like just like so reassuring to me.
Yes. Yes.
But I thought it kind of tied into this one, and you'll like see that later whenever we get in depth with it. So let's start in verse 1. So verse 1 says, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So, verse 1, God compared himself to a shepherd in order to illustrate his great love for his people. The implication of having a shepherd is that we as humans are like the sheep, and sheep are known as some of the least intelligent beings of livestock, meaning they are in need of more guidance than any of the other animals. So this basically demonstrates that compared to God, we as humans are limited and dependent. So overall, the first verse is meaning that God guides and protects those who are limited and dependent. God is the ultimate leader and protector, and whenever this verse says, I shall not want, it is implying that with God as our shepherd, we have what is needed. We lack nothing that matters. Another way to sum this up is that we could say that since the Lord is our shepherd, whatever we have is all that we need.
That's really good. I think for like that part that says like, I lack nothing, or I mm-hmm. shall not want, or however the translation puts it. That is like so not what like our culture tends to think like.
Yeah.
And so like every single time I hear that, I think like it really just gets to me. Like I just really feel like, I wouldn't say like conviction, but just like it like challenges me, mm-hmm. I'll say. Because like the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, or I don't want for anything. Like on my day-to-day life, I don't go about my day usually thinking there's nothing that I want, there's nothing that I need, like yeah. I have everything, when the truth is I really do. And it's funny because I was on my way home from school, I was driving, and I was just praying, and the Lord just kind of like spoke to me and said, like, there's a lot of things that you think that you're wanting or searching for or like asking me for that you just don't realize like I've already given you and that you already have. Like, for example, like I pray all the time, like, Lord, I just want like to feel your presence. Like, and he like spoke to that moment, was like you do, like you're living in my presence. Not that he can't give me more, like not that I can't feel him more, know him more, but it's like sometimes I think I'm further away from him than I actually am, or I think I can't feel him as much as I actually do. Like he spoke to me, he was like, you are living in my presence, you are living my blessing, like you are at peace, like I pray for peace and I pray for joy and like these kinds of things. And he's like, you have that, like you just have to like stop for a second and realize, like, when you come home at the end of the day and like, and you get in bed and you lay down, like you don't sit there with anxious thoughts, like you're at peace, like yeah. I've given you that. And like making me realize like there's a lot of things that I think I want that I already have. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of times that's true. Like even when we pray for like, we pray to be blessed or we pray for like all these things. And that's not me saying don't continue to pray for that, because I think you should always be praying for peace and for blessing and all that stuff. But like, I think a lot of times if we would just realize how much he's already given us,
yeah.
we would not think like we need so much more, because like we already have it. And again, always be wanting more of God. Mm-hmm. I don't mean like, I'm not saying just be satisfied, but I'm saying like, realize like how much you have, how much of your life is actually because he has blessed you, you know?
Yeah.
Do you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's like what I think of when I say like, I lack nothing. Like I could always have more of God. Like I could always be more blessed. I could always have more opportunities, but I have, like, I don't lack anything,
yeah.
you know? Like, that's challenged me recently. And it's, that just, what's the word? I just remembered that happened the other day when we read that. But I love that part.
Yeah, that's really good. And, like, I feel like a lot of people don't acknowledge, like, how much God is in their life, too.
Yeah, yeah. And that's exactly what I mean. Like,
yeah.
he's just in things so much more than you realize.
So, this is, like, the same thing. Like, we're just summing up each verse. So this one says, whenever this psalm says, makes me lie down in green pastures, that can also be translated to habitation or home. The idea is that the shepherd leads his sheep to places of nourishment and benefit. Lie down is translated to, I don't really know how to say it, R-A-B-A-S, Rabbas. I don't really know how to say
it. Yeah, something like that.
But it's a Hebrew word for when a four-legged animal tucks or folds their legs underneath them and rests on top of them. An animal only does this action whenever it is full from feeding and feels safe and provided for. We can automatically relate to this part of the verse because we as sheep can feel safe and comfortable with our Lord and Savior. He is the protector of all and guides us always. When it says he leads me beside still waters, it implies that sheep are said to fear running water, so they might not drink from a stream. By God leading the sheep to quiet, still waters, God allows them to drink in peace. Quiet waters might picture God meeting us where we are, never testing us beyond what we can't handle. The meaning of green pasture is a picture that we always have what we need, regardless of what we are going through or how circumstances might appear. The calm of the still waters shows us that God will provide in a way that will impact us. I really like that part too.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I was listening to a sermon. I was listening to a sermon by Russell Johnson. Actually, I listened to it again right before the podcast to kind of refresh my brain on it, but I heard it a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about that, what you're saying about, or what you said about, like, how the sheep won't lie down until they're well fed and taken care of.
Yeah.
And he said they won't lie down if they're afraid. Or if there's friction among the flocks, so like if the sheep have like drama, anger. Like problem with each other. Yeah, like if they're not, they don't have drama, but like if there's friction between them or like something going on, or if there's like parasites or flies like bothering them, like pests basically, or if they're anxious about food or hungry, like what you were saying. And how he explained it was really cool because he took it just like a little bit further and explained. So I'll go back. So Psalm 23 was written by David.
Yeah.
Who, if you don't know David's life, we don't really have time to like go in full detail into it, but he became the king when he was I think he said 30, so like he was the king. He had a, like, God appointed him to that position. Like, he, they call him the man after God's own heart. Like the Lord really loved him. Sorry for my cough. And you know, he, this, it says that he wrote this when he was actually really old. And so, and this was, it's believed that he wrote this at a time when he was actually being like chased by his son who was trying to kill him because of a whole situation that had happened. I don't have time again to get into that, but it's really interesting because it says like he wrote this passage of scripture about having peace, about the Lord guiding you, about he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still quiet waters, like he restores my soul. All of this stuff sounds like something that would be written from a place of like, everything is like peaceful and good right now. But he actually wrote this in one of the like worst times of his life when he should have been like afraid or anxious or worried because his son was literally trying to kill him. And so he takes those things saying like the sheep, he makes me lie down in green pastures, saying like they won't lay down if they're afraid, they won't lay down if they're hungry or if there's friction. And so that deals with fear, which is like an internal attack is what he says, friction, which is an external attack, flies or parasites, which he said like represents a spiritual attack, or famine, which are hunger, which represents like a material attack. So like all different ways that the enemy can, common ways that the enemy will come after you, like through your mind, through fear, or through conflict and friction, or through some kind of spiritual attack, or through literally depriving you of like basic necessities like food.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that it explains it like that, that like he makes me lie down in green pastures, meaning like He takes care of all these things for me. He gives me food. He helps me to not be afraid. He gets rid of whatever parasites or flies or whatever pests are bothering me. It's like the Lord dealt with all of those things for me, like a shepherd would take care of all those things for the sheep.
Yeah.
Even, and he's writing that even in like the scariest, worst time of his life, saying like, but the Lord takes care of all this. And I just think that's really cool.
That's so good. God is so good.
Yeah. And I think that's just so cool. And another thing he was saying in that sermon was like, it's so crazy that these are the literal words that David was writing at that time in his life that we have access to right now. Like, this is literally what he said in those moments that he was dealing with that the Lord was kind of giving him that revelation. Because, like, that's a lot of insight.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about, like, he was writing this kind of, like, metaphor, and it's so complex. Like, there's so much to it, but somehow, like, we're able to have access to that thousands of years later, and that is just so cool. Like, that God allowed us to be able to
have it.
Have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. But yeah, I love that part too.
That explanation was really good too. It like gives you like a clear picture of it.
Yeah.
But now we're on to verse 3. Verse 3 is kind of short. There's not really a lot of like backstory to it. But it says, the shepherd guides us to rest, fulfillment, and restoration, allowing us to live the life we are created to live. So we as sheep tend to prioritize seeking physical comfort from the world. God knows what is best, what is for our best, and allows difficulties into our lives so that we can be fulfilled in our purpose. So basically, it's saying like, we seek, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, we seek things from the world, but God already has what we need. And I feel like people don't realize that either.
Yeah. Was that for He restores my soul? He guides me along paths for His name's sake. Yeah. That, I mean, He is the only thing that can
fulfill you.
Fulfill you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I mean, He's the only one who can make you lie down in green pastures or lead you beside still quiet waters. Which I like what you said about, I'll go back for just a second, about the still quiet waters, how the sheep like have a fear of water. But He, and it doesn't say He keeps them away from the water, but He leads them beside still quiet waters. Like what they're afraid of, He helps them to be able to deal with and
feel safe.
And feel safe doing it. Yeah. Like that's really cool. And only He can do that. Like,
the world can't.
Yes, exactly. Like, the world can't help you overcome fear. The world tells you to be more afraid. Like, the whole world right now especially is, like, trying to tell you all the reasons you should be afraid or all the reasons that you should be anxious or all these things. And it's so interesting. Everything about God is the opposite of the world.
Yes.
and so if that's true, then it's like, oh, goodness. I just can't understand not wanting to
follow God,
to follow Him, because it's like, but I can understand like when He's not represented correctly and people don't express that He is the opposite of the world and people live in the middle, it gives the idea to people who are not Christians that it doesn't matter. But if you're truly living for Him, you really do see how much He restores your soul, how much He leads you along paths of righteousness.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And whenever you said, like, how could you, like, not follow God, I wanted to, like, give, like, a little backstory on me, I guess, or whatever you'd call it. But so, like, I'm going through situations right now that if I hadn't started following God, like, I don't think I would be able to handle it. Like, God has given me so much strength and, like, encouragement these past couple of months that I wouldn't have had if I hadn't followed God.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
Like,
He's like so good.
Yeah. Yeah, He is. Yes. And I mean, like, that's the number one, like, there's nothing, like, that's just the truth. Like, He is. And I was thinking about that today. I was actually thinking, like, so many times I feel like the goodness of God is just not portrayed enough.
Yes.
Like, we talk about how to be a Christian and, like, even in church, a lot of times I think like we talk about all these things like God wants us to do, or God wants us to not do, and how to live right, how to do right. And it's just like, I feel like a lot of times it's hard for us to, in all of that, which is important for us to learn how we're supposed to live as Christians. So I'm not saying anything bad about that. But a lot of times we get caught up in like how to live for Him.
Yeah.
That we, or making sure that we're doing everything right. And we forget to just like realize like just how good He is, how much having a relationship with Him is just like eye-opening and amazing. And like, we make it about like rules and making sure that we do this and this and this and this and this. And we never hardly like step back and just think like, this is amazing. I even can follow Him.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing that I can just come right into the throne room. Like, it's amazing that I don't have to like go through the high priest anymore to get to the Lord. You know, like that's crazy. Like, that is so cool and so amazing. And we just like don't.
I feel like think we about overlook that. It.
Yes, exactly. Like we, yes, we do. We overlook it because we get caught up in the what details and like the smaller things. Yeah, like it, I'll say it like this. For a lot of people, they never get past just how to stop sinning or how to stop being worldly and get past that to the next phase of actually being able to experience the goodness of God in like that revelation of who He really is, because their whole life and their whole relationship with God, because it like it stays in that place of how do I just like not sin?
Yeah.
Like they don't get past that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you have like, once you get past that point of just like, how do I be a Christian? And you get to the point of now I'm truly living in the presence of God. Like that's when you get to know Him so much more that so many people don't actually get to that place.
Yeah.
And I pray that like for our students at the church, I pray that they get to that place, you know, like, and I think that's what you're saying. Like, that's where you like are starting to understand that. Like you're getting past the point of what does it mean to serve God? Like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to not do? What does being a Christian look like? And now you're getting to the point where it's like, now I know Him. Like, like now that I'm actually know how to live for Him, look at all the like amazing things that comes along with that. You know, it's like getting to that next level.
Yeah.
But yeah, He's so good. And I think what you were saying, like, thinking about where you would be if you didn't have a relationship with Him, like most people don't get to that point.
Yeah.
Like you have to have enough faith to trust Him until you realize how much He has helped you.
Mm-hmm.
Like immediately making that choice to trust Him and live for Him doesn't immediately show you all the ways that He's come through for you. That comes after you've surrendered to Him. You know, like you've given Him, excuse me, you've given Him those struggles and you've trusted Him with those and the things that you're going through, and now you're starting to realize how much that helps you.
Yeah But we can move on to verse 4. So this verse means that even in the worst of situations and circumstances, like which I was just talking about, like with myself, God's protection, peace, and salvation are apparent and always available. No matter what we go through, God is providing our needs so we have all that we need. In this verse, David says, "I fear no evil." And he says this because the peace of God is with him. God's presence and love brings a sense of comfort no matter the circumstances. This verse almost mentions a rod and a staff, and these two things are both used in this verse as guidance. God does not eliminate the scary or harsh things that we go through, but through His presence, the pain moves from unbearable to agonizingly bearable with God. So, like, basically what I was just talking about, like, with myself, like, my situations, they aren't, God didn't take them away. He just helped me get through them.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's true. And He guides us and gives us encouragement and He gives us peace. Like, whenever I'm stressed, like, God just automatically helps me feel better.
Mm-hmm. Like it says, it doesn't say, you don't let me walk through the valley, but it says, even though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil.
Yes.
And even like, it doesn't say he takes away evil. It just says that you don't have to be afraid of the mm-hmm. evil, you know, because he's with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so good and so true. I, another thing that in that sermon from Russell Johnson that he talked about was the rod and the staff. And he talked about, so shepherds had this like wooden like thing that they carried that was actually the rod and the staff. So like mm-hmm. one end was just like a straight like pole and mm-hmm. one end was like the hook.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like the rod was like that straight end that they would actually use to like, defend the sheep from like stuff that would come up and try to hurt them. So mm-hmm. they would use it to like push Poke. Them away. Yeah. And then the hook, they would like wrap around the sheep's neck to like pull them in mm-hmm. back into the group when they would like try to wander off and stuff. excuse me. And I thought that was interesting backstory too, to think like when it says your rod and your staff, they comfort me, that it was not just the rod like that would protect them from the other stuff that would bring comfort,
mm-hmm.
but also God keeping them where they're supposed to be that would bring them comfort.
Yeah.
Because we always think like comfort comes from God keeping bad stuff away from us, but also it comes from him keeping us from running towards yes. the bad stuff. You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Whenever I picture the rod and the staff, I picture like Bo Peep from Toy Story. So like yes. if you don't know what the rod or the staff looks like, just look up a picture of Bo Peep.
Yeah.
that's what it is.
Yes.
But
I know exactly what you're talking about.
But now verse 5. So when this verse says, prepare a table in the presence of my enemies, it is saying that enemies in this verse is defined as those things which threaten to choke the life out of us. In the presence of these forces, God prepares a table postured to give us hope and life, even in the midst of the threat of the scary circumstances and things that we go through on a day-to-day basis. When this verse says to anoint with oil, it is a sign of favor and prosperity. David continues and says, my cup overflows. This means that even in distress, in the valley of the shadow of death, we have an abundance because we have the Lord as our shepherd. And I really like what it says whenever prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. I feel like a lot of people know that part too because mm-hmm. it's in a lot of songs.
Yes.
And we have songs that have it.
Yes.
But I like whenever it says like, there's things that threaten to choke the life out of us, but God gives us hope
mm-hmm.
still.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty interesting to picture that
yeah.
verse. Like if you imagine, like I picture it as like, I imagine like a war going on
mm-hmm.
and like your enemies are like coming to attack you and you're just sitting there like eating. Like
yeah, with God.
Yeah. Like that, if you picture it like that and think like literally that's what he does for us, like that's amazing.
It is
because
amazing.
If I was sitting in a field, like in battle, just sitting there and God would be like, come eat with me. Like, just sit down. I'd be like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, there's people coming to kill us. Like,
yeah.
And I'd be sitting there like on the edge of my seat, like looking around, like what's about to happen, you know? And it's like, that's how we live our lives.
Yeah.
Like we, oh my goodness, especially me. I struggle with that. Like I have to really work on that because I guess you could say like I have a problem letting go of control. Like I want to be in control and like mm-hmm. make sure that I have a grip on what's going on. And so like that's something that the Lord has had to help me with is like sitting there not trying to be the one to like fix the problem
yeah.
or take care of it or defend myself. Like he is my defender,
mm-hmm.
you know? And imagining just sitting there like
I love picturing that like
yeah.
it's just so amazing.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Yeah.
Like again, that's not something that is that goes against like logic. It goes against the logic of nature.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're made with instincts to protect ourselves.
Yeah,
literally. Like Jared talked about that in his sermon. Your body, like if you are conscious, will not let you drown. Like you cannot, unless you're like passed out, then you can drown. Like your body. So he explained it like this. He'll stay underwater and like try to hold his breath as long as he can.
Yeah.
But there comes a point when it's like his body will breathe and like come back to mm-hmm. the surface. Like your body is made to yeah.
protect
instinctively
yourself.
Protect yourself. But that's not what like God has us to do. Like mm-hmm. spiritually is not to try to fight it on our own or try to protect ourselves, but to like not... You guard your heart and your mind, yes. Protect your heart, protect your mind, protect like what's in your spirit. But literally, like you're not the one who has to defend yourself yeah. against the enemy. Like mm-hmm. that's so hard for us to actually comprehend.
Yes.
But it's so simple. Like I think we overcomplicate it.
Yeah.
Like literally just don't.
Let God.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. Yeah, like literally just let him. And I feel like a lot of times... If we would just let him mm-hmm. deal with it and not try to have control or not try to deal with it on our own, we would actually see that he can
yes.
take care of
yes.
it. But a lot of times we think God's not taking Capable. Care of us because we're not letting him.
Yeah.
You know, we take things into our own hands. Jared talked about that one time. It was a quote from someone. I can't remember who it was, so I'm sorry. But when you... have your hand on something, like God can't control it because mm-hmm. you're not letting him. Like,
yeah,
once you take your hand off of it, that's when he can mm-hmm. put his on it. And we don't even give him the opportunity to mm-hmm. do that most of the time, I think.
Yeah. God's available to us, but we also have to make ourselves available to him too. Yeah. We need to let go and let God.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, like just picture like a table, like what Cooper was saying.
Uh-huh.
Like picture a table and it's long and you're sitting at the end and God's sitting at the other end. And then mm-hmm. there's just like people everywhere. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Picture them like throwing forks at each other because you're like eating dinner or whatever. But like,
oh my goodness.
I love that. Like, yes. And then you're just like calm and peaceful and you and God are just together. And mm-hmm. then there's just like all this stuff going on.
But we really could live our lives like that.
Yes.
Like we really could. And we just don't. Why don't we? Like, why don't we want to live like that? Because we want to be in control.
Yep.
So we've got to let go of that. I think if we could just do it the first time, just one time, just let go of control,
yes.
we'd realize that we don't have to be. And then mm-hmm. it'd be much easier. But it's hard even getting through it
one
the
time.
First time.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But now we're on verse 6, the last one. It says, God's love, mercy, and goodness will be with us all the days of our lives. It's unconditional and it never stops. We should dwell in the house of the Lord where God lives. And if we dwell in the house of the Lord, it's not just his home, it's also ours too.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. I like that. It's not just his home, it's our home uh-huh. too. That's cool. That's what Pastor Kenny was talking about that. About how like we become like sons of God
yeah.
and then we become heirs of God. And like when you think about like an heir, like they get to inherit everything that the person has. So it's like we get to dwell in his house, mm-hmm. be heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Like we get to inherit everything that God has to give us, you know?
And I then, love that.
Yeah. It's really cool.
It's so good.
Think about the authority that that gives you when it's like, I have a right to peace. I have a right to joy. I have a right to like goodness and mercy and blessings because I have become an heir of God.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing that can take that away mm-hmm. from me. The enemy can't take that away from me. That's why I can sit here at the table when the enemy's like attacking me because I'm dwelling in the house of the Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. But this verse is really good. I love mm-hmm. it. It's my new favorite one since I've read it. And also, I wanted to say that there's this song that me and Nicole I just showed it to her because it's like my favorite worship song ever. And it's called Still Waters. Let me see who it's by. But it's like really good. It repeats the verse. It's by Leanna Crawford. And it's Still Waters. And then it has Psalm 23 on it. But it's really good. And it says like... Anxiety hates Psalm 23, which I love that verse in there because it's like God gives us peace and he leads us mm-hmm. in our distress and our suffering and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. That's good. That reminds me, because me and Mitchell actually wrote a song with that last verse in it as well. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life,
mm-hmm.
Which it's not out yet. But it'll be out under Mountain Valley Music when it comes
Ooh.
Out. Stones. It's surely yes. your goodness. Yeah. That's the chorus of a song that we wrote. It's not actually about Psalm 23. It's about a different story in the Bible, but we put this in there because it kind of related to it. So
yeah.
That'll be coming out eventually. But
if you guys need some good worship music to listen to Mountain Valley Music. It's so good. Cooper and Mitchell are pro singers.
Mitchell is my brother-in-law. And yeah, so it's like a thing that we do with the Assemblies of God in Arkansas to raise money for missions. We put out these albums and all the money that we make off the albums goes to missions. So it's cool.
Yeah. It's really good.
Thank you.
But yeah, this was our episode. I'm trying to see if I have anything else to talk about, but we just need to remember and keep this verse close to our hearts because it's really inspirational and it's right there. God yeah. made this for us and yeah. we need to cherish it and not take it for granted.
Yeah. And we don't have to overcomplicate it.
Yeah.
That's what reading this, just going through this and talking about it today, that's the thing that sticks out to me the most. excuse me. We think, well, that's true unless the situation's really bad, or that's true unless I've done this and this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
All these reasons why, well, my situation's different, or this is really hard though. God used to really do stuff like that back then, but he doesn't now. And we come up with these excuses in our mind because it's so hard for us to believe that this could actually be true.
Yeah.
But this really is just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. That's just the truth.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say. I'll take away from this conversation and reading through it this time, because I've read this a million times, but that's the thing about the Word of God is alive. It every time you read it, you get something different
yes.
out of it. So I would encourage y'all listening to read this verse, go through it for yourself after this verse. It's a chapter. Read this chapter after hearing us talk about it and see what God speaks to you through it.
Because yeah.
that's what's so cool. Every time you read something in the Bible, every time you read this chapter, and even you, you've gone through this kind of for the first time, but
mm-hmm.
Next time you read it, you'll get something different.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's so cool. He never runs out.
Never. Never, yeah. ever, ever.
Yep. Anything else you want to add?
I don't think so, but I liked the topic that we picked today. It was
yeah.
kind of a last minute thing because we've been really busy this month, but
yeah.
I'm glad that we did this topic.
Yeah. I think it was good.
Yeah.
I think it always is really interesting to hear, especially hearing backstory on where something in the Bible comes from.
Yeah.
That always helps me understand it so much more. So I
mm-hmm.
hope that you guys listening, take some of the stuff we talked about and it'll help you understand it better.
Yeah.
So yeah. Thank you guys for listening.
Yes.
And as always, you can leave any ideas or thoughts you have in the comments or
yes.
any questions
we
for us.
We haven't gotten any yet, but
yeah.
we're patiently waiting.
Yeah. We want to get questions or anything, because eventually I think it'll be cool
we
if we do
a
Q&A
yeah.
video, not video, podcast, a whole episode that's just us answering
questions.
I think that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you guys for listening.
Yes. Thank you. Next time we hope to have another special guest.
Yes. For our December episode.
Yes. Christmas time.
Christmas.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
I know.
It's about to be Thanksgiving. We're doing this episode really
late.
We're trying to squeeze it in because I'm going, we're both leaving over Thanksgiving and I won't be back till December. So we're trying to get this out before, I don't know when it's actually going to come out, but we're trying to get it out before we leave because I'll be in Europe. Cadence will be
in Nebraska.
And it's about to be Cadence's birthday.
Yay!
So tell her happy birthday because it will be her birthday before, before our next episode comes out. So
in 7 days.
She'll be 16. Finally, she'll match up with our bio because it says she's 16 in the bio.
I forgot. <did that>.
Yeah. I didn't change it because I was like, well, she's about to be. So tell her happy birthday if you're listening. So thank you.
Thank you guys for listening.
Yep.
We hope you have a blessed day. Don't forget that you need to read your Bible.
Yes.
Don't forget to read your Bible today.
Every day.
Very important.
Yeah. And pray.
Yes, and pray.
Yes.
Because God is good always, forever, always. And amen.
Amen.
Yes. But thank you guys for listening.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye. Bye.